on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Thursday, May 14th, 2026 edition, and I'm excited to have this hour with you. A lot to unpack in today's show. I have a wonderful show for you. So let's just get right to it. We'll answer our first caller question now.
Hi, Justin and Luke. I was interested in purchasing some Super Micron computer, symbol is SMCI, and I'd just like to get your opinion on the stock. Thank you.
Looking at Supermicro, this is a name that's been hot and cold and then hot again over the past few years. It was one of those early AI darlings as companies were ramping up their infrastructure spending and, you know, they needed more servers and all of that. And it hit a peak back in 2024 of well over $100 per share. But then it crashed. It hit a low. When was this? 2024, the fall, around $18 per share. Now it's at 33, so rallied since then, but it's been a very choppy couple of years. They've had issues with accounting, and that to me is always a big red flag. And they don't really have a competitive advantage. That's why they had to turn to accounting gimmicks to make themselves look better than they really are. And then you had, I think there was another lot, something else recently where it dropped. Yeah, that was back in March. Forget exactly what that news item was, but it had something additional to do with management. Management being, gee, I think they had a lawsuit, was it? Lawsuit from, or investigation from the SEC, something like that. I honestly can't remember off the top of my head. I have to dig into the history of the news here going all the way back to March. But my point is that there's a lot of smoke here. There are a lot of red flags with this business. So if you look at the published numbers and earnings expectations, they look relatively rosy. They look pretty good. Problem is, we know with earnings can be manipulated very easily. So what do I want to look at? I want to look at things like cash flows. And cash flows have gone negative $6.8 billion trailing 12 months. Now, they argue it's because of growth, blah, blah, blah. But once again, I'm not giving you the benefit of the doubt when you constantly break the law, when you aren't forthright with shareholders. And then on top of that, it's in a downtrend. It's been in a downtrend for basically since the fall, when it peaked at about $61 per share. And yeah, it's rallied a little bit recently, but the whole space has. But it's still underperforming the broader tech industry. And that is what that's a signal the market is sending. There are issues here. They have a lot of debt in their balance sheet, about $8 billion in debt and a $19 billion market cap. That's not nothing, especially with this negative cash flow. So this is one of those names where you have to dig deeper than just those headlines, what the earnings say, et cetera. This is where qualitative analysis comes in, not just quantitative. Quantitative does show some red flags once again, but in many ways, this is more qualitative. It's analyzing leadership. It's analyzing the economic moat that they might have. And the reality is, if you look at their operating margins, they're pretty meager. So I'd pass on Supermicro, SMCI. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you. Now, we have a great show for you today, but yesterday we looked into this question. Is Goldman Sachs right about the Fed rate cut forecast? We discuss what a longer wait for rate relief means for your bond portfolio, mortgages, as well as stock valuations. We also answer questions about a ticker symbol SCHD. That's a Schwab US Dividend Equity ETF. If you happen to miss it, go check it out. Best way to get every show is by following us, following InvestTalk wherever you get your podcasts. So make sure you check out yesterday's show. It was a great one. But today is today. We have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes, and time permitting, we'll get to all of it. Our main focus point today is about the dollar outlook. Strength, weakness, what's driving it? The dollar caught some safe haven demand recently from the Iran war fears, but selling pressure continues, remains in a downtrend over the last number of months. So we unpack what dollar swings mean for international investments, commodities, and the average American investor. We also have other topics on the docket. Number one, I love this. There are a bunch of new funds that were called auto callable ETFs. And they might say 12, 14, 16% yield. But as usual, the devil's in the details. And it's important to understand what the way that these quote unquote yields are produced. The reality is that there are some big risks. But what are those risks? We'll talk about that. In addition, we have the largest reduction in oil supply of the last, call it, 100 years. Oil prices are up, but they're not up nearly as much as everyone had feared. How? Why? Why is that happening? We'll talk about it. And then if we have time, we'll talk about America's productivity boom. This is underappreciated. Also one of the reasons why the market continues to move higher. We also have voice bank calls. One is on Brown & Brown, BRO, and then Genco Shipping, GNK. And of course, as always, questions that came in via the comment section over on the InvestTalk YouTube channel. But most importantly, as always, will be your live calls. We're heading to a break. And up next, I will look in today's market activity. And once again, take your live calls at 888-99-CHART.
In the early days, InvestTalk was Jerry Klein and Steve Peasley. Now the torch has been passed and a new generation of hosts is on the job. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. So when you've got finance and investment questions, don't forget to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Let's go take a look at the market today. It was another day in the green. NASDAQ up nearly 1%. S&P up about 0.75%. Same with the Dow. Large cap growth certainly was the leader here. You had Cisco up about 13% on the day. Luckily, a name that we own for clients. On good earnings, so that was really driving some of the positive sentiment within tech. NVIDIA up 4%, Broadcom up 5%. Hardware, semiconductors, they continue to be very strong. You had some strength also out of the financial services. Names like Apollo Management, Coinbase was strong, Interactive Brokers strong, American Express up 1% on the day. So some nice gains there. Capital One up over 2%. Then you had industrial, so Applied Materials did report after the bell, and that was a good earnings report. GE Vernova had a good day, but kind of mixed elsewhere, for being honest. So still a very positive day, but kind of mixed overall. You had retail sales come in at consensus, 0.5% month over month. That was down from March's revised level of 1.6%. X autos was up 0.7% month over month. Consensus was 0.6. So, you know, in line to a slight beat overall. The initial jobless claims, that came at 211,000. The consensus was 205. So definitely higher than consensus, but you've had a number of months of continued decline in initial jobless claims. So, you know, that little increase, little surprise, just kind of a one-off, not necessarily a trend. The market continues to watch what's going on in China with President Trump over there meeting with President Xi. What comes out of that? Well, we'll certainly move Marcus to some degree. Is that something to do with the Middle East? Is it something to do with Taiwan? Is it more business deals? Obviously, President Trump went with a bunch of big tech executives, CEOs. Surely business will be discussed there. That's why they're there. So that will be something to watch for over the weekend. I think that's when we'll get some more data. Tomorrow is OPEX, and I think you'll get a lot more, maybe free movement of the market or volatility potentially in both directions starting next week once we get a resolution to this deal. So that's where we're at. You did have core PPI of 1% month over month, the highest since March of 2022. It's another headline that continues to worry markets as inflation continues higher. So that was the market today. And we'll learn more tomorrow as we close the week. Let's go answer a YouTube comment question. Abogados says, hi, Justin and Luke. Been listening to you guys for years. I had a question regarding Tigo Energy. Tigo, T-I-G-O. T-Y-G-O is the symbol. So it is probably pronounced Tigo. It's a solar panel company that reported significant turnaround to positive free cash flow with projected 28% annualized revenue growth through the end of 2026. What is your thoughts on this stock? Steve in Daly City. Interesting one. Small company with a market cap of $293 million. So this is borderline micro cap. Historically, just lost money consistently. But this year and next year, earnings are expected to turn positive. 4 cents in earnings this year and then 14 cents next year. Now, I like solar. I do think it's an underappreciated area of the market right now. So many companies are starting to realize, you know, maybe there's a longer term disruption in the supply of oil and gas. And therefore, it makes more sense to maybe put in solar, especially at a commercial level. Problem is this really the name you want to tie yourself to? Return on equity right now is 19%. That's good. But it's been deeply negative for most of the last few years. Cash flow just turned positive, but then dipped down again last quarter. They have a good balance sheet. That's the biggest positive here. It's not like they're levered up or anything like that. But I just rather have more consistency to the businesses that I own. So I like the area that you're looking at. I just don't really like this horse. I don't like this name because of the history of just losing money. So if you're looking for the high risk play with potentially more upside, yeah, this might be the horse for you. But as an investment, if you're looking for the best solar stock to own, I think this is far from the best. Now, in the next Invest Talk, we'll look into the story. AI's next chapter. Is the NASDAQ 30,000 rally sustainable or dangerous hype? Analyst Dan Ives is calling for the NASDAQ 30,000 as the AI rally expands beyond the original handful of winners. We dig into whether the broadening AI trade is built on solid earnings fundamentals or euphoria is getting ahead of reality. That is for tomorrow, but now I'm ready for your calls at 888-99-CHART.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hello, InvestTalk. I'm calling in with a question regarding Genco Shipping and Trading. The symbol is GNK. I currently hold the stock, got into it at $21 a share, and now it's gone above that and was wondering, do you think it has more upside or is it time to get out? I like the dividend that it pays, but just wondering, maybe is it time to get into something else? So I'll be listening for the podcast for the answer. Thank you.
Looking at GNK, Genco Shipping Trading, and this is a a transportation company. They transport iron ore, coal, grain, steel products, other dry bulk items. So they're a dry bulk carrier, or shipping carrier. As you'd imagine, their business is all over the board, meaning earnings are up and down, sideways, all around. They made $4 in 2021, then 67 cents in 2023, then lost money in 2025, then supposed to make 210 this year. It's just really all over the board. Free cash flow remains negative. The dividend is going to go up and down, so you don't buy this name for the dividend. Really, that's got a nice little boost. But the problem is that historically, number of shares outstanding continue to go up and up and up. They just grind higher. And as the stock goes up, well, they're going to sell more. Now, it's sold off the last couple of days. The technicals are okay right now. I wouldn't be in a huge rush to sell it, but I would have an out right around 23. It's the low from the low from the 4th, May 4th. And that would be at, what is this low? 23.82. Now we're at 24.80. So about a dollar. That's where I'd give it. As long as it stays above that, I think it's fine. Breaks below that, then the technicals are starting to weaken a lot more. And this is a type of name that could easily drop 10, 15, 20% in a week. So I would be looking to sell this over time, or if it breaks the level, excuse me, would not be a name I'd hold long term. From time to time, we get questions that we receive via web form on investtalk.com. And this is a very interesting one. It says, I've held Edgewood Growth Fund. This is a great lesson because I actually read this earlier, but this is a great lesson for everyone out there. It says, I've held Edgewood Growth Fund, EGFFX, in my traditional IRA for more than 10 years. Recently, though, it's become much more volatile, and I'm wondering what's going on under the hood. From what I can tell, the fund seems heavily concentrated in high-growth tech and momentum stocks like Netflix, NVIDIA, ASML, Broadcom, Shopify, Synopsys, with only around 20 holdings total. The concentration appears to have helped performance in strong growth years, but also seems to amplify drawdowns in market as market rotates away from expensive growth stocks. How would you evaluate whether this kind of actively managed growth fund still deserves a place in a retirement account today? At what point do the poor relative performance and volatility become a reason to move on? Thank you both. I love this question. I don't love it because I'm sad that he's holding it for this long, but it's a great way to understand how to analyze these type of names. Now, growth investing has done fairly well for a number of years. So if you look at the performance, say a 10-year performance, it's returned 12.56%. And a lot of people would say that's 12.56%. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, right? Well, if you compare it to its category of 16.33% over that time frame, it suddenly looks pretty bad. In fact, it's in the 91 percentile over 10 years. What does that mean? It means that only 9% of growth funds, meaning funds in this similar category, did worse. Only 9%. I mean, 91% of funds did better. Think about that. That's how bad this has been. And it shows you that portfolio concentration works great if you're good, but clearly the managers here are not good. And you know what's even worse about this is that the expense ratio is borderline egregious. First off, the expense ratio is 1.4%. That is extremely high for a mutual fund. Our average client at KPP pays less than that. And we're a full service advisor. So the performance in aggregate total looks good, but it's actually very poor compared to its peers. And then on top of that, there's a 0.25% 12B1 fee. So whoever sold him this mutual fund is getting a 0.25% kickback of that 1.4% every single year for doing absolutely nothing. So this client, he's not a client of ours. This person asking the question should sell this immediately because it is an extremely high fee, poor performing growth fund. Even if the total return looks good, it's not compared to its peers. And this year it's done horrible. It's actually down. Think about how good tech has done. Category is up 7%. This is down 9% of the year. Quite the gulf. So yes, sell it. We're moving to a break, still to come, my focus point, and more answers to your questions. So I encourage you to call right now on InvestTalk at 888-99-CHART.
serious investors are certain to have finance and investment questions.
I'm looking at an ETF. It's Goldman Sachs, NASDAQ.
And the best person to ask your question in the right way is you.
If that would be a good hold to have in a Roth IRA for the long-term horizon.
And 24/7, rain or shine, Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero stand ready to provide their unbiased answers.
This isn't really a copper play. This is a iron ore play with some aluminum copper.
If you're looking at ETFs that hold so few names that are so top heavy, I think it is probably ill-advised to pay an expense ratio like this in order to get exposure that you could really get yourself.
Your participation makes InvestTalk better.
Hey guys, Brian from North Carolina here. I'm a big fan of the show. I haven't missed an episode in over 5 years.
So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART. A few things that make KPP Financial special. One of them is parallel investing. This means they invest right alongside their clients. Here's how it works. When KPP Financial makes a trade for their clients, Justin Klein makes the same trade for himself and KPP on the same day, at the same price, and same percentage. No front running, no special treatment. Learn more about parallel investing at investtalk.com.
My main focus point today is about the U.S. dollar outlook for this year. It's been strong, it's been weak, but what is really driving it? If you look at the performance year to date, dollar's about flat against most major currencies. Well, let's say this. The index is flat, roughly. But if you talk about it versus, say, like the euro, it's actually down on the year. If I look at the performance, let's see, year to date, I'm trying to pull this up. Yeah, if you're looking at things like the Australian dollar is up 9% on the year compared to the US dollar. The Swiss franc is up 1%. Canadian dollar is up about 0.2%, and everything else is roughly flat, except for the yen. The yen is the weakest. It's been the weakest all year, but it's really only down about 1%. That's despite the market starting to price in a more hawkish Fed. Now the market, compared to the beginning of the year, is thinking there will be one rate hike, possibly, as opposed to rate cuts. So naturally, that if you saw that movement in the Fed funds expectations, the dollar was strengthened. On top of that, in many ways, we're a petro state. We produce the most oil in the world. So higher oil prices should be helping us. But they're not. At least not creating big gains in the dollar on the year. So what that tells you is that investors are no longer using the dollar as a safe haven asset, despite what's going on around the world. It shows you that investors are starting to diversify out of the dollar and dollar-denominated assets. Because remember, when a foreigner wants to go buy a dollar-denominated asset, they need to go buy dollars. Then you exchange it into dollars, and that creates demand for dollars. And the fact that the dollar is flat to down should tell you a lot. Now, recently, you had payroll data that's been kind of choppy to sideways. But you have inflation data that continues to move higher, which makes the yield on longer term treasuries not look so appealing. That real rates are suddenly becoming negative, especially when you look at the Fed funds rate in the mid threes. Inflation now is pushing into that level and probably higher by summer. So investors are looking for more yield, more hedge against inflation. And the broader macro conditions remain such that, yes, you're getting AI growth, but that is a very risky type of growth and not consistent growth. You're getting growth that's most likely unsustainable. It's really what's happening is the big hyperscalers are unlocking a lot of balance sheet capacity that they used to use to buy back shares. Now they're using it to invest in AI data centers. But how durable is that really? Now everyone wants to focus on the dollar and the dollar direction, and that certainly is important. But in this world, commodities are becoming the real currency, especially gold, because that is the true testament to what is happening with the dollar. Remember, when the dollar index, when you're looking at the dollar index, you're just comparing it against other fiat currencies. When you're looking at it against gold, the world's most traditional form of safe asset and currency, it continues to go down. It's gold is up about 8.5% on the year. The broader commodity index is up 32% on the year. So that's what you have to pay attention to. Money is moving out of fiat currency and into harder assets, gold, silver, commodities, etc. And there's still a strong correlation, negative correlation, excuse me, between the dollar and commodities. Over the one-year rolling basis, the dollar and commodity correlation remains negative 89%. So it just shows you, as the dollar continues to be weak, which, once again, it's showing relative weakness, especially in light of the broader geopolitical situation, shows you that you want to be moving more money into these harder assets. They're likely to outperform these fiat currencies. Let's pivot back to the InvestDoc Voice Bank at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Dunk from New York. Thank you for all that you do. Just wanted to follow up on your podcast about a day or two ago when you were talking about artificial intelligence, trying to be a financial advisor. I think I'm a prime example about like what happened when the war in Iran happened. I asked Gemini to give me some ideas on what to invest. They gave me an idea of NATO, and I invested it in it because, well, it seemed like a legit response from AI. And then, well, guess what? It's not doing so well for me once I bought it. I'm actually like negative 2% of return. Anyways, just wanted to share that with the viewers. I have a question on stock ticker JAAA. It's a CLO. I heard it on another podcast. I'm looking to park some cash, try to get some yield in it. I know you mentioned SGov, but I'm looking to see what is the difference between SGov and JAAA. Looking forward to just put some money on the side so when there's dips, I can just sell it and put it back into the market. Thank you for all that you do. Have a great day. Bye.
Appreciate the call. And that's a great comment about AI's suggestion of NATO and how it's been underperforming. And, you know, here's the thing. AI is just looking back in history and they're giving kind of the middle of the road basic answer. The problem is that the world is more nuanced. And every situation is a bit different. And in this situation, what you've seen in the Middle East as well as in Ukraine is that all you need is a handful of drones to protect your homeland. Maybe not a handful, but a couple thousand, shall we say. And you can outsmart and outmaneuver multi-million dollar jets. And so it's making a lot of what they're doing less relevant. A lot of these, when I say they're, a lot of what the major defense contractors are doing less relevant. And I think that's what the market is sniffing out. And that's why it's struggling. And that's what AI can't look backwards and see. So that's why it's struggling and why you shouldn't use AI for financial advice. Now, when it comes to JAA, this is another great one. I don't know if you, I think you said you heard it on another podcast. Interesting. I wonder what podcast it was. But to me, this is another one of those, what I call picking up pennies in front of a steamroller. Now, this is the Janus Henderson AAA CLO ETF. Does CLO remind you of something, some other acronym? If you know what CLO stands for, it stands for collateralized loan obligations. What did 08? What was something similar in 08? Remember what is called a CDO? Collateralized debt obligations? What's the difference between a debt and a loan? Not really much. In this case, it is referring to something a bit different. CDOs back then were typically tied to mortgages. The issue here is that CLOs are tied to private credit. Now, this will say it's AAA, but go back to 08, and there were plenty of AAA CDOs. Remember, what was the movie, The Big Short? How they explained they chopped up all these loans and you had different tranches. and you wouldn't lose money unless blah, blah, blah. There's some level of defaults. And guess what? It got to those levels and some of those AAA loans defaulted. What's going on with private credit right now? Private equity. Is it going well? Go take a look at a chart of Apollo or KKR. Or just pull up the ETF PSP. How are those doing? Oh, they've been in a downtrend since late summer. Now you're going to get an SEC yield of 4.74%. That looks pretty good. Because if you go look at SGOV, which is our treasuries, where there's no credit risk there, you're getting 3.55%. So you're getting about, what, a percent and a quarter more per year. But then you're taking on that credit risk. Is that 1.25% additional yield worth a potential big drop in the space? Just go look at what this ETF did back during Liberation Day. There was a lot of volatility. It went from a high in February of about $51 to a low of around $49 and change. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot. That is, frankly, only about a 3% drop. But that's because everything kind of held together. If things don't hold together, there's some sort of deflationary bust, especially within private credit, where problems continue to kind of snowball and maybe come to some sort of a head. You have a Bear Stearns moment or a Lehman moment or something like that. It's probably going to go down and stay down for a long period of time because guess what? Maybe those AAA loans are now impaired. That's the risk you have here of a more permanent loss. So I don't think it's worth it. It's not, to me, a safe vehicle to use. There's some credit risk here that I would avoid. I would just keep it SGOV. Just keep your life simple. Let's go answer another voicemail question now.
Hey, Luke and Justin, Bill from Philadelphia here. Calling about ServiceNow, ticker symbol N-O-W. That's been on my radar for a bit, and the current price seems pretty tempting. I want to get your thoughts. Seems like revenue is still strong, and it was just mostly, I believe, guidance a couple of weeks ago regarding the Iranian war. I wanted to see if you guys thought it would be a good time to pick up some shares. Love what you guys do, and I'll listen on the show. Thank you.
Looking at ServiceNow, the cloud-based workflow application software that automates enterprise IT operations. It was a darling for a long period of time, consistent growth, revenue growth in the 20 to 30% range, earnings growth in the 30 to 40% range. Hit a high back in, January of last year. Not that long ago. Less than a year and a half. Hit a high at $240 per share. Now we're at 90 spot 50 at the close today. This clearly is getting caught up with the AI sell-off or software sell-off, shall we say. And the worry that AI is going to disrupt all of these names. But like most of the software names, you're not really getting that fear being translated to earnings expectations. In fact, earnings this year are supposed to be up 18% and then 22% next year. Now, that is a slowdown from the 26% growth last year and the 29% growth the year before and the 42% growth in 2023. But it's still pretty good. Based on forward-looking earnings, you're talking about less than 20 times multiple. On a weekly chart, however, momentum is clearly down. It's consolidating in a bearish pattern for potentially another move lower. I'm getting some signs on the daily that maybe we get to a bottom. And I do think that this space in general is starting to hit an inflection point because, as I said, most of these names are not feeling it. At least the analysts aren't feeling the AI disruption. Maybe at the margins here or there, but generally their business largely stays intact. And ServiceNow historically has had a very low churn rate, meaning very few customers cancel. Now that might be ticking up and there's probably some worry there, but overall, I think the fundamentals are good. Once again, longer term charts, there's still momentum that's poor. It's consolidating too. Looks like to break down. But on the near term daily chart, I'm seeing MACD divergence. I'm seeing some signs that we're getting to a potential bottom within the space. So I actually think it's a pretty good risk versus reward down here with free cash flow at $4.6 billion on a $93 billion market cap, $6 billion in cash. Actually, I probably would take a stab at it here. Good risk versus reward. Now we're heading into our final break. I'm ready for your calls. So give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch InvestTalk on our YouTube channel. And they can leave their finance and investment questions anytime on 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is James from New York. I have a question about Brown and Brown, ticker symbol BRO. It's been in a strong downtrend and hit my target price. Wondering if this is a good time to get in. What do you think about the company? Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Looking at Brown and Brown, BRO is the symbol. It's an insurance industry, wholesale brokerage, insurance program and service organization. So it is in the insurance industry. Its earnings were growing really strong, mid-20s, 30% range up until last year, where revenue still grew 23%, but earnings grew 11%. And this year, revenue's up 20%, but earnings only up 6%. The next year, earnings up 8%. So I think part of this is multiple contraction. But now the multiples are pretty decent. Pretty good balance sheet, $1.4 billion in free cash flow on $19 billion market cap. I definitely like the valuation at these levels and the support level. So this is almost the lows that we saw back in 2022 and 2023, right around $52 per share. Right now we're trading at $55. I think there's an argument here that you want to pick it up. And then if it breaks below, I would say if it breaks, just call it $50, you're out. So I'm liking it after this large pullback. BRO, Brown and Brown. Let's go talk to Nick and Hayward looking at Intuit.
Yeah, just in looking at to buy some Intuit, INTU. Mm-hmm. Want to get your opinion. You think it's okay to buy here or wait a little long? What your thinking is, please. Thank you very much for the great show. Appreciate it.
No problem. Look at Intuit. INTU is the symbol. This is another one of those software names that's down on its luck. And if you look based on next year's earnings, supposed to be up 14% after being up 15% this year to $26.40. Send us a $380 stock now. So it's a mid-teens multiple growing in the mid-teens. It's in this environment that usually is pretty good. Problem is that Intuit, think of TurboTax, think of QuickBooks, all of that. These are software suites that frankly are not that complex. They're fairly simple. Kind of like Salesforce in my mind, like CRMs are very simple as well. And they do things that AI is going to do very easily. To me, there's not a lot of ecosystem connection here. You could take your bank statements and have put it into AI and have it run some analysis. You can give it, you can have it ask you a bunch of questions so it could do your taxes for you and fill out a 1040, all that. And so these are the type of names that I do worry about. Now, can it get a lift in the near term where the whole software space gets a counter trend rally? I think we're pretty close to that, and this would probably rally in conjunction. So in that instance, yeah, I'm okay with it for a trade. Because I do look at a daily chart and I say, you know, MACD is improving. It's not making new lows. It's kind of found a bottom here right around the 340, 350 range. Free cash flow is $6.8 billion on a $100 billion market cap with no debt. All-time high in free cash flow. They're probably going to wring some efficiencies out of their business as well using AI. But to me, these are the type of names that I worry about 5 years from now, 10 years from now. So just wanted to give you my perspective there. There's going to be a lot of winners and losers within this space, but they're all going to be correlated together. There's been a lot of babies being thrown out the bathwater within this space. So I do think there's a lot of opportunities, but once again, they're down. A lot of them are down for good reason. But a lot of them are down because just they're simply software. But Intuit is not one of those names that I would tie myself to long term. I'm Justin Klein, reminding you about KPP Financial's parallel investing. We make the trade for our clients. We make the same trade for ourselves. Same day, same price, same percentage. No front running, no special treatment. We invest right alongside our clients. We share the same risk and potential for success. And you can learn more by heading over to investtalk.com. Please tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify. And check out our videos over on YouTube. And make sure to review on iTunes as well. Good news, we have posted our latest wealth webinar to our YouTube channel. The topic is about inflation. You can watch it for free right now. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.